Welcome to MCC Detroit on the web at mccdetroit.org. And now, here's this week's message.
Dear friends, may we prepare for our hearts and souls for readings from the Bible. Today, our first reading will be from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah, in the region of Zuph, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to God of heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of God at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion, because God had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because God had kept her from having children. Year after year it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat.
Why are you crying, Hannah? Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than 10 sons?
Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to God, and she made this vow.
O God of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to God, his hair will never be cut.
As she was praying to God, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking.
Must you come here drunk? Throw away your wine.
Oh, no, sir. I haven't been drinking wine or any stronger drink. But I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to God. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow.
In that case, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship God once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, God remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said,
I asked God for him.
The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to God and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband,
wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with God permanently.
Whatever you think is best. Stay here for now, and may God help you keep your promise.
So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice, and a basket of flour, and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli.
Sir, do you remember me? I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to God. I asked God to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now, I am giving him to God, and he will belong to God his whole life.
And they worshiped God there.
God answers prayer, for sure. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward that they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your parent, who knows what you do in private. And your parent, who sees everything, will reward you. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be.
We are going to continue with this topic of legacy. We began it last week, and we focused on the story of two great heroes out of the scripture, David and his son Solomon. But what we're going to do for the rest of this series throughout this month and even going into October, briefly, rather than focus on names you may have heard of, we want to focus on names that you may not be so familiar with. Because I believe that it's the actions of the everyday individual that can have a lasting impact. You don't need to be like a Peter or a Paul or Abraham or Isaac. Notice all male names that are highlighted in scripture. It's like, well, I'm not like them. That's not my faith. But what about the other characters? And sometimes they might be called minor or secondary characters out of scriptures. What about their stories? What types of legacies have they left? So for the next couple of weeks, we want to highlight the stories of some phenomenal women. And not just women that you've heard of, like Mary and Martha and so forth. But names that, again, you may not really be familiar with, but because they did what they did and they showed up how they showed up, they have had a lasting legacy that still today we're talking about, even in this 21st century. So I invite you now to bow your hearts with me as we approach the throne of our living and loving God. We love you and we say thank you for this day. Thank you for being our light and thank you for being our love. Thank you for being the one who comes to see about how we are doing, because you are that type of God who is constantly aware of all of our needs. We have come this morning, God, with a variety of needs, but because we are in your house, your sanctuary, this holy space, we pray that we would have a connection with the living and loving God that speaks directly to our hearts, and that we may be filled to overflowing with your presence. And it's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. So the story of Hannah. Quite a lengthy story that we had today, but it's a very significant story. Before we really dive in deep, I really want to focus on this dedication she made of her son And if you recall in the scripture reading that Hattie was given us, as she dedicated her son, she said, God, if you give me this son, or with this son, she had had the son, if with this son, I promise not to cut his hair. No, she didn't have a son. Not yet. Not yet. I'll tell you why I'm a little confused in a moment, but here's this thing about this Nazirite vow. And you may be familiar with these words or maybe not, but you may be familiar with, here's a second S name, Samson. Samson's mother, and the baby was born already. And she took Samson and said, I want to dedicate this baby to you, God. Hannah hadn't had her baby. She was barren, and we heard how she was being teased and taunted. But she said, God, if you give me this child, I promise that I won't cut his hair. And you have to kind of wonder, what was that about? I won't cut his hair. Well, that has a lot to do with this Nazirite vow. And so what is this vow? And it's based upon this word, Nazir. It means to be separated for God, consecrated unto God. You're making this vow to say, God, I am going to follow you. Now, it's a voluntary vow. In fact, it can be done by men or women, as we see here in this case, that here is this mother, you know, saying, God, if you do this, then I'll make this vow of this son. So you can do it on the behalf of someone else. It was primarily done with parents with their children. And it has a beginning time and an end time. And so oftentimes at the end, there was a sacrifice. And many of us, again, are familiar with the story of Samson. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned Samson. And even if you are not familiar with his story from Scripture, maybe you saw the Walt Disney version of Samson and how he's pushing on the pillars and so forth. And with Samson, it gave that vow that he made gave him great strength, and he was known for his strength. But Samson broke his vow. Because part of this vow says, you're not going to touch any dead bodies. You're not going to drink wine. And there's other things that you're not supposed to do. If you have made this vow, even though he didn't make it, his mother made it, he was still obligated to do it. And because he, in Scripture we read, he touched a dead body intentionally. He drank wine intentionally. That his heart moved away from God. But God still honored the vow, even though Samson hadn't honored his end of the bargain. The agreement was never cut your locks. Never cut your locks. But if you know the story of Samson and Delilah, who coaxed him into relaxing and, you know, cut your hair for me, cut your hair for me. And she wasn't being sincere. In fact, she was working for his enemies. He did, and his strength was gone. And he was put into captivity. And then with Samson, the last thing he prayed was like, God, I know I've broken my vow. However, if you bless me this one last time to push these pillars away to punish the enemies, I just want to make that type of legacy. And that's the legacy of Samson. Someone who had it all, but then got lost. And then at the very end said, but this is the legacy I want to leave. So that's Samson, and that's the Nazirite vow. Let's go back to Hannah. The thing about Hannah is that here's this woman, again, very, very sweet, and I think this is actually one of the most tender stories of all Scripture, believe it or not. That's my opinion. Because here's this woman who had a heart for God. And she said, God, again, I am willing to sacrifice this baby if you give this baby to me. And as you know, when it came to women back in these biblical days, a lot of their self-esteem and a lot of their value and worth was all wrapped up into, can you produce an heir for your husband? So here's this man, talk about traditional marriage. He had two wives. People want to say, traditional marriage. Okay, well, that was traditional marriage too. Two wives. But we're not, that's not the point of the message. That's for another day. Let's focus on Hannah. So Hannah had this need to say, God, I really want this. I really, really want this. And if you bless me with a baby, I will dedicate this baby to your service. And when you think about that type of devotion, that really is amazing. And you really kind of ask, do I have that type of devotion to God? Would I be willing to sacrifice and to dedicate my child to God and to say, God, I want you to have this child? And for many of you, like, well, yes, I've prayed and I brought my baby in to be baptized and be blessed by the priest or by the minister. Yes, of course I would do that. Okay, well then, how about this? Would you be willing to then sacrifice your home for God? For God's use and service? To invite people into your home that maybe you normally would not invite in. But God is encouraging you to say, this person has a need, and I'm calling you to give this person shelter. Would you be willing to sacrifice your home? Would you be willing to sacrifice your automobile to give a ride to somebody who really needs it? They need to get to an appointment. They need to get to a job interview. They need to get to the grocery store. And you know you have your car and you know they have a need, but do you respond to that? What about your very life? Is our life our own? Or would we be willing to sacrifice? Now, this is obviously from the, you know, Old Testament days, and you know, no one really does a Nazarite vow anymore. But actually, I think there's a parallel of the Nazarite vow in the New Testament that we can call upon. And this is from Romans chapter 12, and allow me to read it for you. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. This is very similar to a Nazarite vow, where the Apostle Paul wrote this is to each of us, is that I'm urging you to consecrate, to dedicate your very life, your body to God. Can we do that? And what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? Does it mean just simply, well, I go to church, I put my change, notice it said change into the collection plate? That's my reasonable service, right? That's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. Or I volunteered something a while ago and I've done it. So don't ask me again. I've done it. Don't you remember what I did 5 years ago? I got my brownie point for that. I got my check plus. I got my little gold star. I'm done. I'm one and I'm done. I'm one and I'm done. But that's not really what making yourself as a living sacrifice, I believe, means. And focusing then on Hannah, because going back to Hannah, she was the type of person who, again, was truly open to God, not because she simply wanted a baby, not because she simply wanted to, you know, be relieved of this, you know, social stigma of not having a child. She did this primarily because she had a heart for the living God. There were two things that I believe Hannah did. One, she did this. She asked for this baby because, one, she was in love with God. She was in love with God. And she says, God, because you and I have this relationship and we communicate, I want to do this. I want to do this for you. I want to make this sacrifice for you. And because she did that, I believe God honored her. Because God also had a plan. God also had a plan for this woman. Because rather than just simply think God is a stingy God and is always asking you to sacrifice, sacrifice, give, 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 give. But God gives nothing in return. That's not quite the case. In fact, Hannah's story continues. That was chapter 1 of 1 Samuel that was read earlier. This is chapter 2. This is a brief portion. But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served God. He wore a linen garment, that of like a priest. Each year, his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him. I love that. When she came with her husband to sacrifice, before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, may God give you, this is the priest to Hannah, may God give you other children to take the place of this one she gave. So that was the priest praying for Hannah. And Hannah was blessed, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. I bet you don't know the names of Hannah's other children. That's not the point. Hannah, because of her sacrifice, because she was in love with God and she was willing to make the sacrifice for God and dedicated her son to God with this vow, God smiled because Hannah was being obedient to God. Hannah, I'm going to bless you with other children so that shame that you have will be taken away. But this son of yours, Samuel, the one that you've given to me, he will be the one to make a difference. Now, again, you may have heard of Samuel, maybe not. But who is a Samuel? Well, 2 books were written that bear his name. He became a leader in ancient Israel. He was known as a prophet, one of the greatest prophets that to ever live by both Christians and Muslims. He was the last of the Hebrew judges. He was the first major prophet. And you can't see this, unfortunately. He anointed the first 2 kings of Israel, Saul and David. We talked about David last week. Before David became a king, there was a Samuel. Before there was a Samuel, there was a Hannah. And there was this woman who loved God so much. And she said, please, I want to do this for you, and I want to bless others. And God heard that prayer and honored that prayer. And so thus, through Samuel, Hannah's legacy lives on because of what she did. It was her heart. She had a heart for God. She loved God and she loved other people. She had a relationship with God, and that is why she gave. The second passage that we had was in Matthew. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from God in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and street and calling attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they're going to get. But in other words, store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does that sound familiar? It should, because it's right over there. That was the passage from our stewardship campaign of last year. But I love this because, again, how this relates to Hannah is that Hannah was the type of individual who truly did not say, God, I want a baby for me. And she kept that baby and she showed it around like, look what God did. God bless me. I got a baby and it's about me, 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 me. That wasn't her attitude. Unlike the other wife, Phaniah, who taunted and, you know, teased to the point of heartbreak. Hannah's character was quite different. Hannah's had a heart where she truly did things to store her treasures in heaven and replace it back to God. And I want to say this. What about us? Over the years at MCC Detroit, we have had a variety of people come through these doors. Last week, we saw a collage of all the places we have worshiped. This week, it's a collage of all the leaders that have been here. And if we just simply just say, well, the leader got it, the leader will do it, then I think we're missing the point. We're missing the personal connection we can have that God wants for us to be this living sacrifice. To say, God, I love you and I love these people. And no, you don't need to be a preacher or a minister here to do this. But that is your heart, that you see the needs of others who are here, who are gathered. Do I have a car that I can help take someone? Do I have something I can give to help someone else out? I mentioned this last week. We talk about a legacy is what is left behind through the actions of a lifetime. But a lifetime is day by day by day. What are you doing today? What are you doing in this moment to be open to God? To say, God, I love you. I'm doing this not for my own gain, not for my own popularity, but I'm doing this because I have a heart for you and I have a heart for your people. This is what I believe God is calling each of us to do. As individuals, and then when we come together collectively as a mission, a ministry, a movement that is known as Metropolitan Community Church of Detroit. What is our legacy? As you look at some of these faces, many of them you know, some of them you do not. What type of impact have they had on your life? What type of legacy have they deposited into your soul? And now, if we were to then see all the various people that have been impacted through your ministry, how many people can say, because she showed up, because she believed in God, because he sacrificed, because he gave, I'm blessed, I'm better. That is how we make a legacy. We don't need to be a David. We don't need to be an Abraham, an Isaac, a Jacob. We can be our fabulous self and show up and have this heart for God and just simply to say, God, I want to be this legacy. I want to make a difference. Not for my own gain. Not for my own popularity. It is because I love you. It's because I love them. And I believe that is the point of life. So I encourage us as individuals not to be a one and done type of Christian. To be the type of individual that says, well, yeah, I've gave 5 years ago. And I'm done. Well, yeah. I show up to church once a week and I'm done. Like Hannah, who returned year after year to visit Samuel, She recognized she wasn't done. She recognized that although she dedicated this baby to the temple, she made a little robe for this boy every year and would take it to him. To me, that's so sweet and tender. She still loved her son and was involved because she knew that she wasn't done. That as still, although he was with the priest, Eli, she still had a role in his development. She was not a one and done type of person. And I pray for each and every one of us who are here that we ask God, what type of sacrifice should my life be? What type of sacrifice with what you've blessed me with, how I can bless others? Because I know you're not stingy. I know I'm not going to just give it all away until I have nothing. But like how you blessed Hannah, you'll bless me. And I'm not giving so I can just be blessed, but I'm giving out of love. And I'm giving out of love for your people. So if I'm not there, change my heart, oh God. So I have a heart for you and I have a heart for others. Please let me not be a one and done type of Christian, but to always show up and be available for however you choose for me to be. This is my prayer for each and every one of us individually and as a church.